decision. And we've already covered the first part of it, and I'll just do a quick review. It said first, it said to start out by telling yourself what you'd like to happen to you today. And then it says that if you state what it is you'd like to have happen to you today, and then you say at the end of that, if I make no decisions by myself, today I make no decisions by myself. So first I decide what I want. Then I decide that I'm not going to make any decisions without the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to make any decisions without my higher self. Then you go, then he says, then realize that most people don't do that. They make up their mind about what should happen, how it should happen, who it should happen with, when it should happen, where it should happen. Then they ask. Okay, after we made up all our mind about how everything should be, then we go to Spirit and say, hey, you know, what should I do? And the Course says that, well, that you're not going to get the answer that you want, because in most cases, what we decided would bring us happiness is not actually what would bring us happiness. And so the answer that we would get from Spirit would be opposite to what we would necessarily expect, and then we would get angry, and then we get upset. And so he says that when you find yourself having a day that's not going the way that you intended it to go, then you need to stop for a minute and say, I have no question, I forgot what to decide. Because at some point, I didn't decide to ask Holy Spirit. At some point, I didn't really check in. And that's why it looks like today isn't going the way that I wanted to go. Also realize that the Course in Miracles is always talking about our perception. It's always trying to correct our perception. It's always trying to correct our perception. It's always trying to correct our perception. It is not a book on manifesting things. It's 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 not a book on manifesting things. What did I say? Oh, it's not a book on manifesting things. Okay. All right. Because sometimes I think people get confused about that. And what the Course says in the teacher's manual is that that whenever we ask for something, what we're really asking for is an experience. And the thing that we're asking for is the thing that we think is going to bring us the experience. So what you're really asking for with anything you ask for is an experience. So then we need to understand that the experience that we really want is either an experience of peace, or we're going to have an experience of conflict. It's either going to be love, or it's going to be fear. The Course is so freaking simple that sometimes it's sickening. But it looks complex because the more unaware you are, the more you're turned on by complexity. So that's why the average person tends to meet things to be very, very complex, and the more complex it is, the more important and valid they think it is. So I think the Course is ingenious in how it can give the impression of being as complicated as you need it to be, or it can be as simple as you need it to be. And you'll find that the longer you study it, the more you realize that it's very simple. It's just so different from what we've been taught that it brings up the resistance. And since most people don't know that they identify with their ego, then they don't realize that their ego already has its own idea about how everything should be and how everything should go. You know, it's like we call that our opinion. Okay, so that's the code word. You know, my opinion, what I learned, what I know to be true, what I believe is right. You know, it was funny. I was looking at the political process that's going on right now, because it's a very unusual situation happening, and coming from the perspective of growing up in an African-American body in this life, I've seen things I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. And, you know, the whole idea of a person in a black body running for president and a female running for president and both of them getting this kind of energy and attention lets me know that at some level there's been a some type of a shift in consciousness, no matter how this turns out. Mm-hmm. Some of the change, you know. What I have to stay aware of is not to fall for the trick of thinking that something outside of myself is going to save me. You know, neither one of these people are going to make me happy. Neither one of them are responsible for my happiness. None of them are going to save me, and none of that. You know what I'm saying? So I have to always remember that at the level of the world, we are constantly tempted to put our energy into things outside of ourselves in order for us to have peace. And that's not saying I wouldn't support whatever I felt like I need to do as a symbolic gesture out in the world. All right, I'm not one of these people that say, well, you know, just an illusion, so you don't have to get involved. I always tell people who say that to me, do you look at food that way? If it's just an illusion, then why you worry about food either? And if it's just an illusion, why you worry about not walking out in front of a car? So, it's an illusion, but all of it is. And if in some areas you feel like you need to act, then why couldn't it be valid to act in any area that you feel like you need to act? And huh?
Oh,
yeah, I always hear that kind of stuff. People say, oh, it's just an illusion, da-da-da. But it's like, wait a minute now. If it's just an illusion, then the stuff you're into is an illusion, too. The stuff you think is important is an illusion, too. So it's always easy to see somebody else's stuff as an illusion and rather than to see your own stuff as the illusion. And so what I do is I try to give what I would like to receive. So even if it is an illusion, if I didn't have food to eat, I would appreciate it if somebody would feed me. You see what I'm saying? So if I could honestly say, if I was hungry, it would be so okay for somebody to just walk up to me and say, Earl, you know I'm not going to feed you because it's just an illusion. Okay, if that would be truly okay with me, then I would not make any move to feed other people in the world either. You see what I'm saying? So that's my, so at the point that Earl doesn't need food, which the Course says you will reach that level of consciousness where you don't need food and you don't need water. It talks about that in this workbook, one of the workbook classes. When I first read that, it was mind-boggling. But it made perfect sense because there, of course, are records of gurus and masters that don't eat and all that kind of stuff. So those are just very advanced levels. But at that point, yeah, I could see it that way because I didn't need it. But right now, y'all can take me to a restaurant anytime you will. Okay, I'll be right. I saw what time now? You know, it's going to be all right with me, you know? So anyway, it's just funny. 30 years of working with the Course, I've just seen so many interesting little tricks that the mind plays. So when the day is not going the way you want it to go, then you say, I have no question, I forgot what to decide. Okay? And my point was, when you're asking for the kind of day you want, you're really asking for a day of peace. That's what you're really saying you want. If you're really getting hip to it, you're going, if I make no decisions by myself, then this is a day that will be given me. Because the truth is, my peace comes from my interpretation of my...
Squeaking.
My peace comes from my interpretation of the situation, and my peace doesn't come from the physical situation. Everybody hip to that?
Yep.
Okay. What I'm saying is that, now, when I don't know about you, but when I get mad, I'm mad. When I'm there, I'm there. And that means I'm giving myself an interpretation that's upset me. Sometimes I can change my interpretation, sometimes I can't. What about you? Say yes. Okay. All right. That's good. Let's all support each other knowing we're all exactly alike. Okay. But whether you can change your emotional reaction has nothing to do with the truth. Even if you stay mad, if you realize you're the one that's making yourself mad, you're still way ahead of the game. And there's nothing wrong with your feelings. And you're not going to be condemned forever because you're upset about something. So don't take it so seriously. As a matter of fact, I think it's great to be able to have my feelings and just experience them without judging them, without condemning myself, and without feeling like I have to be able to change it in 2 seconds to something that's peaceful. I think that's kind of a ridiculous kind of pressure to put on yourself. You know, this is the way I feel right now. That's my call for love. So I forgot what to decide. I made this decision without God, without the truth. And so now I'm upset. So he says, so since it's important to us to decide something, then he says, we should say, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now. That's where that paragraph 8 starts out. It says, if you're so unwilling to receive, I'm getting over a cold, so I'm going to be a little bit lower than usual. If you're so unwilling to receive, you cannot even let your question go. You can begin to change your mind with this. At least I can decide I do not like what I feel now. Okay, I'm upset about something. I can say, at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel right now. And he says, now, the reason why you do this is if you say, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now, he said, it paves the way for the next easy step, which is having decided that you don't like the way you feel. He says, well, what could be easier than to continue with, and so I hope I have been wrong. I don't like the way I feel. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel, and so I hope I've been wrong. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel, and so I hope I've been wrong. At least I can decide. I don't like the way I feel, and so I hope I've been wrong. I'm repeating this over and over again because it's supposed to become a rule of thought. And the Course defines a rule of thought as a habit. A habit is something that rules you to the point that you don't even have to think about it before you do it. So he wants us to get to the point that we'll go through this process without consciously even stopping to think about it. Just like we don't consciously stop to think about getting upset. You know what I mean? It's like when we're upset, we're like, we go there. The Course says we're going to get to the point that we do that with the truth. Like, as soon as something happens, we're just going to go there. Oh, I'm seeing only the past. Oh, I'm giving that all the meaning it has for me. Oh, I'm really innocent, no matter what this looks like. See what I mean? So, I'm mad at you. At least I can decide how I feel about you right now. You know what? And I hope I'm wrong about that. See? So I admitted my feeling, but then I use it on page 627. Okay. Well, there's some over there. Okay. So he says, now the reason why you want to say, I hope that I'm wrong, which is what most people are willing to admit they're upset, but they're not willing to say they hope they're wrong. It takes a lot of consciousness to go, I hope I'm wrong. He says, the reason why you want to say, I hope I'm wrong is because this works against the sense of opposition. And reminds you that help is not being thrust upon you, but it's something that you really want and that you need. So I need help, I want help, and I need help, and help isn't being forced on me. I want help, I need help. I want help, I need help. Help is not being thrust on me. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel right now, so I hope I'm wrong. That helps work against my resistance. And it's saying, and it helps me realize that I'm being helped right now. I want help right now because I don't like the way I feel, and I need help right now because I don't like the way I feel. He says, now, this tiny opening will be enough to let you go ahead with just a few more steps you need to let yourself be helped. I like the way he says that. He says, by saying that you hope you're wrong, he says, that's enough to let you go ahead with just a few more steps you need to let yourself be helped. See, by the time you get to the Course in Miracles, you should be on a level of consciousness where you know you need help and that you're willing to let yourself be helped. And you realize you don't have all the answers. And you realize you don't know everything. And you realize you're ready to have something greater than you take over in your life. The Course is not, in my experience, the Course in Miracles does not appeal to people who are still at that stage where they're trying to build their ego up. And that's all the stage we go through. See, the first stage we go through is we go through a stage of unconsciousness, which is we think that we are a victim of things that happen to us, and we're just out here hoping we can make it. Then you go through an awakening. The awakening takes the form of somehow or another you getting the idea that your thought is creative and that your beliefs create your reality. That's why the stuff like The Secret and all that is very popular, because it's about you being able to create things through your consciousness. So when a person first starts to get in touch with their own power, then they study everything they can possibly study in order to empower their personal ego separate self. They go to every workshop, they read every book. It's all about self-help, as they even call it. The power of positive thinking. It's all about, can I amass as much information as I can, since I know I'm the one that's creating my reality, so I can be smart enough to do it all on my own better than I've ever done it on my own before. So then I got all my fantasies about what I want my income to be. I got my fantasy map about my soulmate. I got my fantasy map about my career. I got my fantasy map about what my body should look like. I got my fantasy about what trips are. It's all about me experiencing power, money, specialness, and physical pleasure. And I'm going to use all of this stuff about you create your reality in order for me to get more money, more specialness, and more pleasure, and more power. Anybody familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next stage that happens is that if you're successful at that, you start creating stuff and you realize you still ain't happy. You had a car and still find that you're still not happy. You had a house and you find out you're still not happy. You have the relationship and still be wondering what's going on. You actually manifest, because we really do. We really can. But we also have not dealt with the issues around guilt, anger, grievances, separation from God, loving out. In other words, we haven't dealt with the content of our mind. We've just been about getting things. And then you start to realize that, oh, you can get those things and be very pleased with them and still feel like there's something missing. And what's missing is the spiritual element. What's missing is that link to source. What's missing is that link to our real spiritual identity beyond what we've been taught. And see, so by the time a person wants to heal their relationship with God, they want to heal their relationship with Source, they want to forgive themselves for the past, then they're drawn to something like the Course. The Course is a course on forgiving, releasing anger, releasing guilt, releasing blocks, healing our relationship with God. So I find that I attract, and I've always attracted to Course in Miracles classes, people with God issues. Either they got an issue with the word God, or they got an issue around the way they were brought up in the religion they was brought up in. In general, it's not true with everybody, but in general you'll find that people that come to the Course, even though it's a book about God, it's what they actually have the most resistance about, because they get in touch with their old ideas about God that they haven't resolved yet. And it brings up that resistance. So the Course is really about healing our sense of separation from Source. That's why it's not an easy material to stick with, because most people just want, how the Course put it, relief from symptoms that they keep creating for themselves over and over again. They're not really coming to heal their relationship with God. They just got a problem that they want to get solved real quick. And maybe if they come to something like this, and it can be helpful, I'm not saying that it's not, but the Course doesn't really come to life until a person goes, I want to get in touch with my Source. I want to get in touch with something greater than myself. I want to heal my relationship with my Creator. And most of all, I want to know who I really am beyond my body and what the world has taught me that I am. A person with that attitude would have the most exciting experience with this book that they could ever imagine. It would reveal stuff to them that would blow their minds. And that's where we're going this year, more and more and more, because it's a lot easier to let, like you said, let yourself be helped than it is to always be trying to figure out how to do everything on your own. Whatever I do in the physical world to earn money or whatever I do, I try not to even begin to fool myself into thinking that it's what I'm physically doing that's really bringing about the success that I'm going to have. And I have to watch that, because being self, quote unquote, self-employed, I can get really tempted to think I'm going to go out here again and I'm going to make it myself up again, something I've been trying to do since I was 20. Or younger, you know what I'm saying? It's like by now I ought to know that that doesn't work by now. But it's funny. It's like, it's almost like a part of us thinks if we do something that doesn't work a certain number of times, it automatically works. It has never worked for 600 times, but on the 624th time, we all know that you can start. We all know you can start your car with your shoe. You just have to try it 600 times, and so that's the way we are with so many things. It's like, oh, we just try the same thing with different people, and think we're going to get a different result. And so what the Course is teaching us is that we're in a state of grace. We should not be struggling. Our life should be complete peace, that we should be experiencing love naturally, that we should naturally be healed, and that the only reason why we're not is because we're misperceiving things. And so it actually puts you on a path where things can be done through you and for you, as opposed to you having to make up everything and figure out everything on your own. Okay. Which comes into conflict with the ego personality we built up, which is based on the idea of autonomy and self-sufficiency, and we doing everything on our own. So that's why when you get into the Course, there's this subconscious resistance that comes up, and it comes up around the part of us that we've educated to be in charge of everything. And it doesn't want to abdicate the throne. Mm-hmm. And it does, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm at the point now where I've realized the complete mess that I've created.
Congratulations.
It's really scary.
Yes. 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 And he says that there's a point. He says there's a point when you realize you've done it to yourself. He says that where some people, they want to kill themselves at that point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you come to realize, well, if you did it to yourself, then it wasn't God that did it to you, and it wasn't nobody else that did it to you. So now you have somewhere you can turn for help. Because before, I was blaming everybody else, and God wasn't there for me either. You see what I mean? So when I do come to the point that I realize I'm creating this and I created it, then I'm also at the point that I can realize that I could have help now, because it wasn't anybody doing it to me. And that's the beauty of the point you're at right now. It puts you in the position where you can go, okay, I did it to myself, but I did it out of an unawareness. I did it out of misperception. I did it out of what I learned that was not true, so I can forgive myself. Had you been taught differently, none of this would happen. You know what I mean? So it's like if you had been taught you were a zebra, and then you put on your SAT, that's what you were, and then you found out later that's what you weren't, you wouldn't be upset with yourself if you had been taught you were a zebra. You know what I mean? So that's what we have to realize, is that everything we do and everything you see everybody doing, they're doing it because that's what they learned. And if they had learned something different, they'd be doing something different. So that's how we can forgive ourselves, is to realize that we're not just malicious people. We learned, the course that we learned, how do you put it? Jesus said, we learn insane lessons. We are sane beings being taught insane things. Some of us, thank God, are such old souls that we just rebelled instinctively from the time we got here. We were called the weirdos, because I just never could accept it. I still wonder. But I know that's my past. That's what I learned. So the Course said, you only see the past. So when I see people that I would condemn, I have to realize, Earl, you're just seeing your own past. You know, that haven't you ever attacked? Yes. Haven't you ever misperceived? Yes. Haven't you ever judged? Yes. You know what I'm saying? So before you condemn anybody, realize that you're just seeing your past. And just because you're at a point that you don't choose to do that now, the Course said, if you truly transcended a level of consciousness, which I thought was interesting, he says, if you truly transcended it, when you look back on the way you used to be because you're seeing somebody else do it, you're feeling compassion instead of judgment. He says, if you're judging them, then you haven't transcended that level yourself.
So it's when you feel compassion.
It's only when you feel compassion that you can say you truly transcended the level. But if you're walking around going, you know, because I'm so high now, that I can just talk about it, everybody else is doing. He says, well, that's you still there. Or you wouldn't be condemning them.
You still
have
an ego.
You still have an ego. Because here, they're condemning, right? And so you judge them for being condemning, right? So you're condemning them for being condemning, so you're condemning too. So you got to be just like them. And that's what I have to remember, that if it's compassion, I've transcended. If I'm upset, then I need to learn that lesson just like they need to learn that lesson. So that's a good little test. Okay. So when you get ready to be successful at something that you're trying to do, realize that the Course teaches that the thing that you're getting ready to do in the physical world is just a symbolic gesture to show that you're willing to have what you're asking for. It is not what creates it. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything comes from Source. And what we do in the physical world is just symbolic to show that we're willing to receive it. So I have to watch myself and make sure that I'm not going to get into the attitude that I'm going to go out here now and I'm going to make this happen on my own. Because then I'm back in the old thought system, just like anybody. The guy next door believes that. The guy across the street believes that. So if I'm studying the Course, but I'm still in that same mindset, I'm not any different from anybody else. I'm not really different until I say, Holy Spirit, decide for me. What should I do in this situation, Spirit? It's not until I'm a person who stops a moment, tells myself I'm sustained by the love of God, and asks for guidance, that I'm different. Until I'm doing that, I'm just like anybody else. I'm just like anybody else. If I'm not stopping and asking, then I'm just like anybody else. So that's why it's so important when you realize that. That when you're at that stage, to realize that's a very powerful, very beautiful place to be, where you're at.
It doesn't feel like that, though.
No. For sure, no.
No, it doesn't feel like it. No.
Because in my heart, I know.
Yeah.
I do know.
Yeah.
All and then do. I'm kind of kicking myself for saying, how could you have done this?
Right. And then that's just the ego, too. Because it's only the ego that would ever have the solution of attack.
Yeah.
See, what's really fun about our ego self is that our ego self, the self we made up, right, it'll tell you to do something, and then it's the same voice that beat you up for doing the thing that it tells you. Yeah, that's what's so funny. The same voice that tells you to do it is the same voice that condemns you for doing it, which is really hilarious when you think about it.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's like the same voice that told me to curse you out. It's the same voice that's condemning me for cursing you, you know. And I got to realize any voice that would condemn me could never be the voice for God. Any voice that would condemn me for whatever reason could never be the voice for God. But I'm in a world that I feel like I'm a good person if I feel bad about my screw-ups.
And since I really want to be a really good person,
I'm
going to
feel really
good. I want to feel really good. Because you're a really good person.
Because I like to excel.
You want to like to excel. But you know, there's so much truth to what you just said.
Oh.
Nice people crucify themselves more because they feel like part of being a nice person is how well you put yourself down for thinking you hurt somebody. See, a person don't care about people. They don't do that.
In the workbook, we're seeing different, all of a sudden, we are holy, and I'm like, oh, I'm holy,
mm-hmm.
And that's where I start shutting down.
That's right. And if you would think of the Course in Miracles, one of the Course in Miracles definitions of holy is sinless and innocent, and if you start substituting innocent for the word holy, it'll give you a whole different take on that too. Because when I read the word holy in terms of my old program, it's almost like a little monk or something walking around, you know, holy, what do you mean? But innocent gives it a whole different slant, you know. And innocent is what people rebel against the most. Tell a person you're innocent, and they will come back at you with every reason in the world why they couldn't possibly be innocent. Right? We do just the opposite. So by the Course telling us that we're innocent, what it does is it brings up every ounce of the guilt that we have that we're in denial about. And that's what people don't get about the Course. If I tell you you're innocent, you never hurt anybody, you're totally innocent, nothing you do has ever hurt anybody, you've never hurt anybody, you're completely innocent, you've never harmed anybody, but you don't know what I did last weekend, what I did last night, and you know what I'm saying. But if I say to you, you're guilty, you're sinful, you're bad, you're guilty, you're pitiful, you're sinful, you go, well, I ain't that bad, you know, yes. Last week I did buy somebody a birthday cake, you know what I'm saying? You know. So the more we're told we're guilty, then we focus on our innocence. The more somebody tells us we're innocent, we'll focus on our guilt. So that's why people use guilt to make themselves feel innocent, which is kind of weird, but people do that. It's like, it's almost like when I suffer enough, then it's okay for me to get a good thing to happen to me. And I'll accept it because I've suffered so much. Well, it's about time this break came because what I've been through the last 6 months.
We are talking.
Yeah, so people can generally don't become a good receiver until they think they've suffered enough to deserve it. But if I say to you, you deserve to receive, regardless of what you've done, then that's harder for a person to receive. And I'm sure all of you have seen, I have some friends sometimes that are like that. If you try to give them anything, it could be as simple as picking up a burger. Say, hey, I paid for the burger, if you'd be about to get. No. And they won't accept a $3 burger. That's the same person that'll tell you they want to make $100,000 a year. That's the same person that'll tell you they want to receive. But you try to give them $3 burger. And they will, no. And then sometimes I'll literally say, well, you know, especially, it's like once you know the law, the more you realize that you want to give. Because giving is how you receive. So you're really doing that person a favor when you let them give something to you. You're actually allowing them to receive more. And since you are receiving, then you're allowing yourself to receive more. So it's a win-win for everybody. You know, especially if it's done without resentment. Now, if they're picking up the burger every time, then it's going to change from a gift to a sacrifice. Right? And then they're going to start giving you resentment. You know, so just keep it. So anyway, when you study the Course for a while, it's like it has a lot of little side effects that you don't even think about in terms of how it starts to play out in your experience at the smallest, even at the hamburger level. Or the tofu from vegetarians and stuff. Don't want to get in trouble over here, you know. Because we know that the plants want to be ate too. Okay. That's different. They don't have noses. So I always tell people that whatever rules you come up with, those are going to be the rules that you have to live by. And if you don't live by them, you're going to condemn and attack yourself. It doesn't have any effect on me, you know. But if you decide that you want to live your life in a certain way, let's say you're a vegetarian, okay, then no matter how you feel about me coming from the South and loving to have a rib sandwich, okay, if I don't feel guilt about it, nothing's going to happen to me. But you better not ever eat a rib sandwich.
Right.
Or you going straight to the hospital. You're going to get the one bad rib sandwich. Why? Because you got so much guilt and judgment around that issue that you would punish yourself for doing it. So I always tell people, you know, when you feel guilty about something, the Course says it's not because that thing is necessarily bad or wrong. It's just your way of knowing that you're going to punish yourself for doing it. Don't forget that. You know, if you get ready to do something and you feel guilty about it, it does not mean that what you're about to do, the universe is going to punish you for that. But you better be sure you're going to, because your guilt is letting you know you think it's wrong.
How do you get beyond thinking it's wrong?
By what you're doing right now. Because you learned to think it was wrong. You see? So now you got to learn to know that you're innocent. And that's what he's saying. Forgiveness is, he says, forgiveness is learned just like the grievance is learned. People think forgiveness should come natural. But both of them are unnatural. Forgiveness is unnatural and the grievance are unnatural. Neither one of them are needed if a being loves itself. Because if a being loves his or herself, there's nothing to forgive. And they're not holding grievances. So really, forgiveness only came into play when grievances came into play. But both of them have to be acquired, as the Course puts it. Both of them have to be learned. So what the Course is doing is giving us new interpretations that will take away the guilt. But we have to learn these new interpretations just like we learned the other ones. Now, the advantage of learning this, though, is that since it's in alignment with the truth, then it happens faster than the time it took for you to learn the grievances. Because the universe supports your innocence. So when you want to learn this, the whole universe is supporting that. But when you want to feel bad, you have to do that on your own or at least form some relationships with some people who will condemn you and help you out. You know, get some really no good friends. You'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? And that's the truth. A guilty person gets someone who condemns. They're attracted to people who condemn them.
Oh.
Yeah.
What if it's a family?
Oh, that's what they were hired for. That's why you were born into the family. So you can just really, because you all got a long history if you believe in reincarnation. So family is like the ultimate testing ground to see if you're going to ever see your innocence. Because what happens with family is, I don't know about you, I left home when I was 18. I got married when I was 19. So yeah, how deep my guilt was. And But I was frozen. Basically, I was frozen in time at 18. Your family tends to think of you as whoever you were when you still live with them. Mm-hmm. I don't care how old you get. You know, I'm still 18. You know, it's still. So you become frozen. Same thing with your kids. All of them. Like my children, still think of me, however they thought of me, basically, when we were still together, when they were just very young. So that's the reason why you can't let family control you, because family is really dealing with an illusion of who they think you are. But when you study the Course, sincerely, one of the side effects of it is that I found it heals family relationships. I mean, I've just seen it. The relationship I have with my family is unbelievably peaceful now. Yeah. And they didn't come to any classes. let me see. Who could it have been? I don't know. It could have been me. I don't know. Yeah, but see, the ego likes to use family as to be the one proof that the truth doesn't work sometimes.
Yeah, I've got to respond to that.
Yeah.
I had a very early breakfast meeting up in Longmont this morning, and then I wanted to come see, be part of this. So on the way down, I called my older brother who's living in this new apartment. And he's just recovering from a heart pacemaker operation a few months ago. He's older than I am by 14 years. So I call him, and he got time for brunch. He had time for brunch, but one of his sons was going to be there. So he said, sure, well, I'll go to brunch. So I pick him up, not at the meeting. It was a business meeting, and I just kept with my lesson, which, you know, I will look for the face of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm cool with that. But my brother gets to the car, with my nephew, and we're going, we're driving. I'm thinking, I got just enough time to get to this restaurant, we'll have a good meal, I'll pay for the meal, then I'll drop them off, I got to get to Earl. Okay. And he goes, let's go to Craigview. I just don't have time for that today. And he lights up. He's pissed. And then he hooked me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he hooked me. I said, so what you're telling me is your credit union is more important than my meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked him in the eye. And I looked for the face of
No.
It was late. I was late.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. Better late than never, you know.
You gotta watch it because you know the screen removal mostly is the sun.
Uh-huh.
So I come around going to the credit union. I go in front and I said, "There you go." He said, "I just go to the ATM." I said, "That's fine. Don't worry. It'll work out." So we just drop us off. We'll be okay. I said, "No, we're going to eat. Go get your money." So he goes, gets money, gets back in. My nephew's talking about, you know, Uncle Chuck, he gets this way. This. I said, what way is that? Manipulative. And then I ran it in my head. And you're never manipulative, right? So then what I viewed it was a part of me that I can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was there for that second thing.
There you go.
So I looked for the face of Christ.
Yeah.
I noticed a part of me that I can't stand.
Because
he got big. Oh, so you're just squeezing us in.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh.
Mm-hmm.
I said, however you want to look at it, brother, we want to eat. I took him. We had a great time. Very few people at the restaurant shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
We get out of there. And the shock of all shocks
was.
He pays for lunch. First time in 7 years, dude.
Oh,
whoa. You know, if you're counting.
It's obvious you don't keep up with that.
But the two parts of the course that we're with, see, I had the course with me at the business meeting,
uh-huh.
But I thought with family,
mm-hmm.
I can just be.
Mm-hmm.
I can guide.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the guide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
But
I know.
What you just said? You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
This guy knows. He knows buttons about me I haven't discovered yet.
That's right.
You know?
That's
right.
Because
he's my older brother.
That's right.
And he's gonna pull that when you said, he's gonna remember me what? When he was changing my diaper, if he wants to.
Well, you know, if you really realize that, okay, if I'm here to learn new responses, right, and to get new perceptions mm-hmm. and new ways of reacting, if I really looked at it that way, all of a sudden, this entire earth would make complete sense. All of a sudden, it would go from making no sense to making total sense. Because what's happening all day long is I'm getting opportunities to choose once again. If I'm here to learn new interpretations in order for me to have peace and new responses, well, then it would make sense that I would be getting one chance after another chance all day long to see if I'm going to look at it differently. You know what I mean? And so then all of a sudden what becomes like the physical temptation to attack becomes just another opportunity to practice what you say that you want to learn. You know, it's like me trying to learn how to play horn and then getting upset every time my teacher puts sheet music in front of me. You know, because, okay, you give me an opportunity to play the notes that I'm saying I want to learn. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I didn't want to learn music and you put the sheet music in front of me, now I'm mad. Because I don't want, like the kid, I don't want to play piano. You know what I'm saying? But the kids that want to play piano, then they go, oh, the sheet music. Oh, okay. Ding. Okay, do it again. Ding. Da, 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 da. You know what I mean? So that's us all day. Grandmama. Until one day it's like the perfect concerto that grandmama is. I'm cool with grandmama no matter what grandmama said. And that's my child, and that's my ex-wife, and me and her had a good time. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you you get up to Liberace, Beethoven level, you know what I'm saying? You know, but at the beginning, you're going, flan. And if every time I hit a wrong note, I spent the rest of the practice period beating myself up and hitting that wrong note. You know what I mean? And then, you know, and it's like, I'm a musician myself, and what I remember when I'm trying to learn a new piece of music is that usually I'm trying to go too fast. That's what I found out, that all I really needed to do was slow my frigging butt down, play it slowly until I get it, and then just speed it up, because once I get it to the point that I'm not thinking,
There you go.
Then I can play the music really well, because you got to get to the point you're not thinking. If you think about the note, you're going to hit a wrong note, just like a basketball player. If he thinks about it, and so that's what we do. Right now, we're thinking, how do I handle my mama?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Slowly, right? So she just says the thing that I know pushes my button. I do what? I take a breath. What do I do? Don't say anything. What? Don't say anything. If there's any way possible, that old saying, count to 10, that's one of the truest spiritual advice you could ever get. Because in that little time that you're taking to count to 10, you're really giving Holy Spirit a chance to give you another way to respond to that situation. But you have to slow down and not react, you know. And if you do, well, it's like hitting the wrong note. You try to do it better the next time, and then you don't beat yourself up for that. And that's what he's saying right here. Here's the concerto. I wanted to have this day the way I wanted it to be. It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. I must have made a decision without asking the Holy Spirit, and I'm mad because he didn't give me an answer the way that I wanted. So at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel now. And so I hope I'm wrong. So that'll work against the opposition, and it'll allow me to be helped, right? And then he says, now you reach the turning point. Because you're not at the turning point until it's occurred to you that you will gain if what you decided isn't so. So the turning point in any situation is when you realize it would be to your advantage if it's not the way you're seeing it. That's the turning point. When it gets to the point, I go, okay, it's not to my advantage to be right about this. He says, now you're at the turning point, right? Then he says, until this point is reached, until you reach the point that you realize you'll be better off if you were wrong, he says, you will believe your happiness depends on being right. So the person that's really stuck is the one that believes that their happiness depends on being right. The person that's stuck is the person that believes that their happiness depends on them being right. And when I'm talking to somebody and I see that they want to be right more than they want to be happy, I stop talking. Because it's more important to them to be right. So there is no point in talking. And so what I try to do is turn the conversation in an entirely different direction. And sometimes I'll just stop and just go, you know what, it really doesn't matter at this point. You know, let's just focus on something else now. You know, because it's not really, I just want to have a cool energy with you right now. I'm not really invested in whether or not I'm right or you right, because I know I am. So, so, you don't even have to continue this conversation, you know. You know, but once you realize that it doesn't matter what anybody else believes about what you believe, you're so free. I wish I had realized that at a much earlier age. It's like, for me to practice the course does not depend on anybody else in this room agreeing with me. And I used to believe I needed validation from something or somebody outside of me. And so therefore I felt like I needed to share my beliefs with people so that somehow or another they could agree with it or support them. And I find that I move faster now on the spiritual path and get more of the results of the spiritual path by not telling people anything about what I believe at all and just be loving with them. It's amazing to see the difference that makes. You know, it's because when you tell them what you believe, then you're setting it up for them to establish their individuality. The way that people establish their individuality according to the Course is through disagreement. So individuality is established through being different. So if I'm trying to establish my individuality and you tell me that life is white, well, in order for me to be different and therefore establish my position, then I'm going to take, my first instinct is going to be to take the opposite point of view. And just watch it with the average person. They tend to not want to agree with you. They tend to always want to give you a slightly different perspective of what you just said. Rather than go, you know what? I agree with that. They used to go, well, but you know, on the other hand, I see it such and such a way. And the Course says that's what the ego is. It is the idea of being different. So when you're talking to a soul who believes that they are a body, in order for them to be their separate identity, they have an instinctive need to not agree with you.
Or to be right about
Yeah, well, same thing. To be right about the position is different, right? So it would be easier if I wanted to believe something more, I should be with it within myself, live it from within myself, join with people that I already know want to head in that direction. And then with the people who are different, don't even talk about it with them at all. Because it doesn't matter whether or not they agree with you or they believe it anyway. So I realize that when I don't want to believe something is when I talk about it with people who I know are against it. They are reflecting back to me my disbelief in what I'm talking about. That's why I'm holding that conversation with my, you know, if I don't believe in hell, which I don't, well, I would have to be looking for opposition to go talk to a born-again Christian and say, I don't believe in hell. Okay, I'm setting us up now immediately to go into some type of opposition with each other. But I could just as easily say to that person, I love Jesus, which I do. They're going to say, yeah, man, I love Jesus too. Now, I got an entirely different perception of Jesus probably than what they have, right? But we're joined, and now we can talk about what happened on, you know, American Idol last night. Because we can join as much talking about American Idol as we could talking about the course. We actually might join more talking about American Idol than we would about the course. Because the minute we talk about American Idol and we both like American Idol and then he decides he likes me because we just had a cool American Idol conversation, then if I did bring up my beliefs because he likes me, he'll be much more open to at least hearing what I got to say without condemning me because he likes me. So love always trumps intellect. Yeah, love is going to always trump, can we talk this out? Because how many times have you had somebody say to you, if somebody else had said that to me, I would have went totally off.
Oh, okay.
But something about you, you said it and it was okay. You know why? Because they like you. They care about you. So I'm always shooting for the love. I'm long past that stage where I think it's about intellectually everybody agreeing or seeing things the same way. But I've noticed that if people feel peace about you, even if they don't agree with you, they'll still at least let you say what you got to say and not attack you for it. And I experience it a lot even in my classes. I know a lot of times people come to my class and they don't give me a hard time just because they feel the love. They may not agree with me, but they don't cuss me out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because they feel that they can feel in their heart that I don't have a malice of intent. Mm-hmm. But if they came here and I was like Mr. Self-Righteous of the universe and I got the way and nobody else has the way, I'd be getting opposition all the time from people coming to my class about this outrageous stuff the Course in Miracles says. So just keep that in mind. Like your brother, you know what I'm saying? You want to see the face of Christ in your brother. So look what happened. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you had to come from this opposition place, because the Course says it's
always there, dude.
Yeah. And he was coming and he was getting ready to give you just what you asked for.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
What you really helped me out with the family, get back to that just for a second.
Sure, that's what we're here for.
When you said one day, because I make exceptions for my family, see?
Mm-hmm.
But you said one day, if a person goes through life not seeing that everybody has a split mind, then you're going to get your feelings hurt.
That's right.
And see, since I'm the youngest, I look at all the older ones, I assume that they just have the love mind with me.
Mm-hmm.
See, so now, as I'm growing up again,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing they have split mind.
Hey, we all do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like when people see mine, they freak out. You know, it's like if I show my split mind, sometimes people respond out of proportion to how they would respond to somebody else's focus.
He has a guru.
Right, which is never something that I proclaim myself to be. And that's the thing about it, you know, is that the more loving that you attempt to be, the more you become the projection screen of everybody around you. And that's the price you pay for trying to be a more loving person. You become sometimes safer to attack. Because they feel like you are not going to attack back because you are the guru. So the loving person, so they can just say anything to you, and so they're shocked when they realize that part of self-love means that you don't allow yourself to be treated, and so they're shocked. You know, like people, if I say no to people, they go, "What? You didn't say, you said no." I said, "No, I didn't just say no. I said hell no." But with love. I love you, but I don't want to do that. And that kind of trips people out too. When you say no just as sincerely, but you're not saying it from anger, because they're used to people going attack. So when you go, "No, that doesn't work for me. I'm not going to do that." "What?" I don't want to do that." "What?" You know, because they're not used to no peacefully. Mm-hmm. You know, but when you love yourself, you don't want to commit to doing things that you know you won't do because it'll make you feel guilty, or you make yourself. So a part of your love for yourself would be you say, "You know, that's not something I really want to do." Because if I say yes to you, I want to feel like it's something that I could be committed to do because I really want to do it. And it's, you know, it sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's little things like that that guilt will keep you from doing. Because if someone makes you feel guilty about not wanting to do what they want you to do, and they're successful enough, you'll go ahead and compromise a lot of times and go ahead and do it even though you don't really want to do it. So the more you let go of your guilt, the more you're a bad ego person, there's a tendency for you to be called selfish. It's like the more you do what you really want to do, the more the people who are trying to manipulate you will say, "You just think about yourself and you don't think about nobody else but you," you know. And you have to be strong enough to know that you're not allowing yourself to be manipulated, and that's their attempt to manipulate you by saying that. And if they're really special, the temptation to give in will be so strong. Or if you feel like you need them for something. You know, you're not claiming your power completely, and so you feel like you need them, you're compromised. Thank you all for sharing in the love offering. But I'm going to catch you this time. You know, I'm not going to let you get away with it this time. So here we go. Today, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel. So I hope I'm wrong. And the last statement is, for this part, I want another way to look at this. At least I can decide I don't like the way I feel. So I hope that I'm wrong. I want another way to look at this. So when something comes up today, you get upset. What? At least I can decide. I don't like what I feel. Okay? But we want to add the other part. And so I hope I have been wrong. I want another way to look at this. And I'm going to finish those last two or three paragraphs because I'm going slow through this because it's so profound. And we can't hear it too much. We really can't, you know. It's like people, "I've heard that before." Well, we need to hear it a million times.
Yeah. You know, we heard the bad lesson.
Yeah. A million times.
For how many years of our life?
Exactly. And I never heard people say, "Well, I've had too much of the ego." But I've literally heard people say, "Well, I've had so much, I need to take a break." But, you know, it's like, okay, you need to take a break from hearing that you're innocent and powerful and loving. But you never need to take a break from hearing the insane realities that the world programs. I never hear you say you've got too much of that. You know. So anyway, that would be what? Their ego defending itself. So I appreciate you all. You're a blessing in my life. You make a black man really happy.